we were responsible for a large number of events which got the university tangled up in the street.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
For example, one serious event had to do with the application of Flystrom for radar purposes as a transmitter. Former role as a receiver is just put to bed. It's not happened. There it was in the industry already. But possibility of using a Flystrom as a transmitter didn't occur to people until we started this work in 1946. The development of the Flystrom went along very rapidly and very satisfactorily. By 1949, we had a lot of techniques behind our belt. And the military became interested in testing our developments in the industry. So we were asked to develop classified basis, Flystrom for S band. I'll explain that to you if you don't know it now.
Yeah.
And that was we were encouraged to license Varian Associates. Mm-hmm. We from Stanford were licensing Varian to develop the S band Flystrom for radar applications. Litton Industries were encouraged to work with us. Develop an L-band Flystrom, also for radar. And General Electric Company joined us in a separate project to develop X-band Flystroms.
Mm-hmm.
We would be developing some of these same Flystroms I just mentioned to demonstrate their utility, but needed to be known in more detail to make such a device as possible. The industry people assigned their engineers to follow our footsteps to develop practical tubes for various applications. So what happened at Stanford was extremely important because it got the industry involved in a big way. This is the Korean War period.
Mm-hmm. And of course the funding that had been very large, the governmental funding during the World War II, had dropped some and then grew again. Very large sums, I think, during the Korean War.
The war was, you know, war was independent event in this history.
Oh, all right.
The invention of Flystrom and related devices occurred after the war. And it was improved monotonically at the time.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't suffer any dips.
Oh, I see. All right. That worked, yes. I was saying of the growth around
industrial support, you know, industrial support of the military dropped abruptly. Very large factor as the war ended. But the ideas you and I are discussing right now,
I see, right,
came along independently of the war.
Mm-hmm. It sounds to me as if at this point, perhaps you didn't need that the massive funding. That you could keep growing meant that you didn't need to be. Well, the 50s, the funding in the 50s, the military funding is huge in terms of when you grab it, you know, compared to what happens in 46 to 40.
Money was not the problem in those days. No.
Ideas.
Students who continue to work, build space. Money was important for buildings,
mm-hmm.
and fellowships. Well, German was behind every important event I can think of. It was behind in the sense of encouraging people whenever university came to a relationship with industry.
Mm-hmm.
University would be skittish about entering such arrangements. They didn't understand them. University people have never done this kind of thing. So Thurman was always there to support industrial ideas. To explain to the university why it was a good idea for the university to participate rather than be aloof or even opposed.
Mm-hmm.
contrast to places such as Berkeley, where similar opportunities existed, but these parallel events did not occur because there wasn't a determined to bridge the gap between academic concerns and the industrial world.
There must have been some protests of this on the campus. Was it just mostly in the form of grumbling, perhaps, among the humanities people or whatever? Or was it they even aware of it until the 50s?
I wasn't really aware of any sustained or massive organized opposition. Individuals, of course, there were many individuals, as individuals, who had concern about the government invading the campus. The military applications of centered ideas became important as a problem. Classified work, was a problem. But there wasn't any organized opposition in the early days.